My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Jude and Simon? Are not also his sisters here with us? And they were scandalized in regard to him. This meditation is about St. Joseph's holiness in ordinary life and work. And so we're reminded about how St. Joseph was a very ordinary person, and about our own personal vocation in the middle of the world as ordinary lay people. And every week in the circle we are asked, did I try to avoid anything annoying or odd out of keeping with my duties and position? So a lot of emphasis is placed on our ordinariness, on being very normal and being very balanced. And St. Joseph can be, well, a special patron saint of ours in that regard. It's interesting how our father had a spiritual sweet tooth when it came to St. Joseph. I remember a person in a get-together with Don Alvaro saying, or referring to that fact, that our father used to say how good Joseph is, que bueno es José. And this fellow asked him, ¿por qué nuestro padre decía que San José era bueno? It was a very sort of simple, childlike question. Why did our father say that Joseph was good? And Don Alvaro reacted in the same way that our father did on many occasions, by thanking that person for asking that question, so as to give him an opportunity to talk about St. Joseph. And so you could see that everything related to St. Joseph will give our father a great joy. And likewise, we're called to have that same spiritual sweet tooth. I'm really happy to look to him, to thank God for this year of St. Joseph, to have this desire to gain all the indulgences we can during this particular year, on this particular day, and to keep looking at the life of St. Joseph in many different aspects. He gives us great lessons because of his ordinariness, father of a family, a worker who earned his living with the effort of his hands. All these things are very relevant for us. Very ordinary things, very ordinary people with ordinary responsibilities in the middle of the world. Our Father in Christ is passing by says that St. Joseph was an ordinary sort of man on whom God relied to do great things. So on the one hand you had his ordinariness, but on the other hand you had his calling to greatness. One of the messages that we have for ordinary families, and parents, and ordinary people is precisely their calling to greatness. Stenson, in some of his books, talks about how mothers and fathers of families have to try and live like great human beings so that their children see what that means, to live as a great human being. So their children grow up well wanting to be a great human being and living in that way, which means practicing virtue, because they've seen it practiced, put it into practice in ordinary ways and concrete realities. And, well, our Lord is also relying on us to do great things. The news we got last night about the expansion of the region, well, sort of makes you think in all sorts of ways. We're no longer thinking about Nyeri and Nakuru, but Malawi and Botswana and so many other places, Mauritius suddenly come onto the horizon. And so we know that our Lord wants to rely on us to do great things with our fidelity, with our correspondence. In the same way that he relied on St. Joseph on his ordinariness, and with him just putting one foot in front of the other, discerning what is the will of God in this particular moment, in this particular place. What does God want me to do? What virtues does he want me to put into practice? And then setting out to fulfill that, launching out into the deep, with faith, with daring, with heroism at times, and with constancy. We're told in Christ's passing by, he did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do in each and every event that went to make up his life. It's very simple, but yet very profound, very ordinary. Did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And so we come to our prayer in a regular way, and we ask our Lord, well, Domine aut vidiam, Lord, that I may see, what is it that you want me to do? What is the decision that you want me to make? Where do you want me to place my investments on the scales? No? What particular things do you want me to choose in this particular moment, so that I choose the path of life that you want for me? That is why he says, Scripture praises Joseph as a just man. It's probably one of the greatest compliments that Scripture could have given to Joseph, to call him a just man. A man united to God, in unison with him, in the state of grace, virtuous person. There's no greater praise that the Old Testament can give to any person than that. He says in Hebrew, a just man means a good and faithful servant of God, someone who fulfills the divine will, or who is honorable and charitable towards his neighbor. Me, to be somebody great, well, that's what's involved, to be honorable and charitable towards our neighbor. Be a person of integrity. In the Irish newspapers, the last day or two, great scandal because one of the major stockbrokers in the country that had been there for 50 years, well, some of the top executives ran away with an awful lot of money. You know? And so you find this happening everywhere. If the human person doesn't have formation, doesn't live a supernatural life, is not living a unity of life, well, everybody ends up being a crook and a thief. You know? And we're here to change that reality. As Javier said to people in Nigeria in a get-together, well, Opus Dei has come to change the way the world does business. This is what we're involved in. So that everybody in their work and in their profession is honorable and charitable towards their neighbor, fulfills their duties of justice. So a just man is someone who loves God and proves his love, said our Father, by keeping God's commandments and directing his whole life towards the service of his brothers, his fellow men. It's very simple, it's very ordinary, but there can be great temptations against that in many areas of professional life. And so we have this great model before us, so that we can look to him and learn from him how to put these virtues into practice. And that may lead us to stand out among our colleagues. That means also that we have to have a desire to grow in our formation and our professional work, with the passage of time to carry it out a little better, to leave a great legacy. It may be that many of the things we have done professionally in our life will pass away, but possibly the greatest thing we will leave after us is that example. A lot of the tables and chairs that Joseph made in the course of his life, well, they didn't last. They must have faded away, or they got burnt, or they went back to being dust, or a whole pile of other things. But his example, his reputation, has lasted down through the centuries. And that's what we're trying to build. In his ordinariness, there must have been a great maturity. Maturity is the human person to take on the tasks that God placed before him, to handle them very well. Maturity that meant putting into practice all the cardinal virtues, prudence and justice, fortitude and temperance. When weight is lacking in our life, well, there's a tendency to want to fill up that lack with external noise, or with the emptiness of a dissatisfied heart. We see that around us all the time. And so we're told in the way, don't succumb to that disease of character whose symptoms are a general lack of seriousness, unsteadiness in action and speech, foolishness, in a word, frivolity. And that frivolity, mind you, which makes your plan so void, so filled with emptiness, will make of you a lifeless and useless dummy unless you react in time, not tomorrow, but now. We see the life of Joseph, and we don't see any frivolity. We see him very manly because he's mature, because he's able to take on this great enterprise that God is asking of him. He's in good shape. And all of our formation and all of our virtues lead us in that same direction, ready to take on in our ordinariness the great plans that God may have placed in front of us. And we see him these days, well, inviting us to lift up our eyes and look at different horizons. The field is ripe for the harvest. And this fact also, he says, has for us a meaning that is the reason for reflection and joy. We look at St. Joseph's life and we find plenty of scope there for our reflection and also for our joy. Our joy because Joseph is so good, so manly, so ordinary, but also so holy. We're told also in Christ is Passing By that love brings joy, but a joy whose roots are in the shape of a cross. The life of Joseph wasn't easy. It was full of rejection. There was no room for them at the inn. The doors were closed in his face. They had to find some small little stable on the outskirts. He had to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Rejection by the local governor. Rejection by society. Rejection by his country. Go to Egypt and remain there. Very powerful words in the gospel, remain there. An awful lot of his holiness was tied up and ordinariness in that, remaining there, just doing the ordinary things, fulfilling your duty in the ordinary situations. And also not knowing how long that was going to last. Remain there until I tell you. Part of the ordinariness of our life is that we don't know how long this situation is going to last. There's a certain uncertainty. Abraham was told, go to a land that I will show you. Abraham is sort of the man of the moment these days because the Holy Father is there, yesterday or today, the birthplace of Abraham in Ur. And so that uncertainty about the future is part of the ordinariness of ordinary life. As long as we are on earth, continues our Father, and have not yet arrived at the fullness of the future life, we can never have true love without sacrifice and pain. This pain becomes sweet and lovable. It is the source of interior joy. And so St. Paul in the second reading today talks about we preach Christ crucified. Crucified in the ordinary things. But he says that our Father is that it's an authentic pain, for it involves overcoming one's own selfishness and taking love as the rule of each and everything we do. Joseph put love into practice, showed that he was a just man, showed his authentic love for Mary, in forgetting all about himself. Love his deeds, not sweet words. Was willing to put her away privately. At whatever the cost, didn't matter what was going to happen to him. And so in a very ordinary way, he shows the fullness of love, forgets about himself, takes love as the rule of everything that he does. And so in this way, he becomes a model of great holiness in ordinary life, in work, in family life, in adversities, in joys, in the little things of every day. So it wasn't just that he had a holiness, but he had a great holiness. I think it was Leo XIII who wrote many apostolic letters on St. Joseph and begins to talk a lot about the dignity of Joseph. How after Our Lady in heaven, well, he's the number one saint after that. He occupies a very special place. He was a man of solid virtue and character. Solved his problems in prayer and in patience. We're told he was mindful to put her away privately, mindful. Scriptural phrase for prayerful. And then God comes to his aid, not just in that occasion, but on many occasions. He was a person who worked, who suffered, who cared for Jesus and his mother, put his whole life at their disposal, all of his ingenuity, all of his talent. And God also relied on that ordinary talent that was there. He had to work a lot out a lot of the details. Everything wasn't laid out in front of him. He had to use his abilities and his thinking process and many things, his initiative. He showed initiative and responsibility in all that he was asked to do. And so our Lord must have been eternally grateful for this person that God had given him from heaven. He must have wanted to give Joseph a great heaven because of his correspondence. And that's why many fathers of the church will think that after Our Lady, well, he's the greatest. Together with Our Lady and Our Lord, he forms the Trinity on earth. He would have taught Our Lord many basic things, to work, to read, to write. Would have taught him manly manners, ways of speaking that he was going to use later on in the parables. You gave me no kiss of greeting, no basin to wash my feet. Our Lord was well brought up. He was used to the details of hospitality. And so when they were lacking, well, he noticed them. He had good manners that he must have learned from Our Lady and Saint Joseph. And the Gospels say very little about this great man, except that he was silent. He was energetic, able to go here, to go there, full of dynamism. He was loving, he was capable of planning ahead, of making judgments, go now, immediately, by night, and not to go, to wait in Egypt, to be patient. Probably he died before the public life of our Lord, because we don't hear anything else about him after that, after they're getting lost in the temple. And no single word of his has reached us. But somehow the word of Joseph is present in Jesus, in his toughness, in his manliness, in his fortitude. He would have learnt all these things from the virtues of Joseph, the holiness that he saw every day. Joseph, to a large extent, passes unnoticed in Scripture. But that doesn't mean that he was inactive. He was hidden, but he was very effective. Great model for our effectiveness, hidden in silence, but yet hopefully effective in our work, in our family life, in our virtue, in our service of others. We can try to grow more each day in union with God, like Joseph did, in the correspondence that he asks of us, in the faithful fulfillment of our ordinary duties. A little act done for love, said our Father, is worth so much. And so in all the life of Joseph, will we see many of those little actions done for love. And so these days and weeks and hours can be a time to deepen in our interior life. To seek God, especially in the times that we dedicate exclusively to him. That period of meditation each day, or the presence of God that we try to practice throughout the day. We can try to grow in the human and in the supernatural, for the glory of God and the good of men. Joseph must have heard with great joy the things the angels, or rather the shepherds, told him that had come from the angels, the great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. The work of Saint Gabriel, all the people. Joseph must have dreamt of all the great things that were going to come from this Christ child, divine beauty incarnate. And our Lord had to resemble Joseph in the way he worked, in the traits of his character, in the way he spoke. Jesus must have loved him so much. Our Father loved Joseph so much that he said that in the last years of his life that his love grew in an impetuous manner. Each day that went by, he He loved him with a new impetus that was capable of overcoming all difficulties. And so very logical that our Father would want us to renew our commitment on the day of Saint Joseph. He loved that word, commitment, committed. There was a guy once who was doing a master's in CRC, and he crossed with one of the priests of the work in a corridor. It was early afternoon, and this guy was from Canada. He had no religion. And he happened to say to this priest, "Father Reynal, you know, I'm very impressed with this place. It's the atmosphere of work, you know?" But that didn't quite express what he wanted to say. He was fishing around for the word that would be more exact. And he said, "It's the atmosphere of silence." It was the early afternoon period. But still, that didn't grasp the idea, the sentiment that he wanted to express. And finally, he said, "It's the atmosphere of commitment." What a beautiful word. Great compliment. We around us have to create also an atmosphere of commitment, something that people should notice. There's something different about us. There's a Dutch missionary priest in Singapore who would baptize 60 adults every Easter, Singaporean Chinese, and would tell them, "Now that you're Catholic, well, you have to be different. You can't be the same as everybody else. We're here to be different, to change the world." One of the ways we change the world is with our atmosphere of commitment that we bring with us. Commitment that we learn from the Holy Patriarch, of seriousness, of maturity, of manliness. God asked Saint Joseph for something very big, asked him to change all his own plans. He had the mission of covering up the miraculous maternity of his wife. So big things carried out in a very ordinary way. It was necessary for Joseph to participate in this great game, this divine game with human beings, that he should be a just man, a man who loved the will of God, and one who always tried to put it into practice, no matter what that meant. The sky's the limit. And so the actions of Joseph seem to echo the words of Mary and the actions of Mary, "Be it done unto me according to your word." In all the specific moments that are called placed before us. There was a Spaniard who came to Ireland in the early 50s, in Ireland Torrance. His degree wasn't recognized in the country, engineering degree. He got a job making coffee in an engineering office. Eventually he got his degree recognized after a lot of toil. Eventually they gave him some drawings to work on in the office. Little by little, he worked himself up to be the boss and to own the company. He built it up to be the most prestigious electrical and engineering company in the country. I remember in a talk, him saying that he had had a tough board meeting that lasted from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening. He was being put on the spot all the time. And he said when he came out from that day of work and that meeting, he felt totally exhausted. And it came to mind that what our Father said was each day had to be a mass. He said, "Well, I really felt this day in my life, this professional working day, has been a mass." No? And, well, it was rather interesting to hear those words. St. Joseph teaches us to work like that, to put everything into what we're doing, to make each day a day of intensity, each day a mass. No? We imitate St. Joseph by sanctifying our professional work. Whatever work it is that God has placed in front of us. Saint Benedict said that external monotony is an invitation to inner change, whereas novelty and constant variety short-circuit the process of going deeper. So the humdrum realities of each day is an invitation to inner change. Pope Francis, in his document on Saint Joseph, says the person who works, whatever his task, collaborates with God himself, becomes a little bit the creator of the world around us. And so in those fulfillment of our ordinary professional duties, the ordinary humdrum ones, well, we come to change the world around us. Let every man remain in the calling in which he is called, we're told. And all the little duties of our work, of our family, all the little things that God has placed around us, this is where God wants us to function. And the sanctification of work, we know, is at the heart of the spirit of Opus Dei. It's a means to reach God. The largest part of our Lord's life was fulfilled in Nazareth in those ordinary circumstances. You should be full of wonder, said our Father in the Forge, at the goodness of our Father God. Are you not filled with joy to know that your home, your family, your country, which you love so much, all these are the raw material which you must sanctify? Don't be afraid of loving others, he says, for his sake. And don't worry about loving your own people even more, provided no matter how much you love them, you love him a million times more. And so we can ask Our Lady in these days and hours as we prepare for the Feast of Saint Joseph, that she might help us to be a little closer to the Holy Patriarch. Our Lady and Our Lord must be very happy when they see us bringing out of the background of our interior life the loving father and husband that they had and placing him in the forefront. They must be particularly happy when they see us giving a lot of importance to Saint Joseph. And so, Mary, may you help us to pay a little bit more attention to this great saint that you've placed before our eyes. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me during this meditation. I ask your help to put them into practice. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Santa María, es nuestro.